On this episode of Nerd and Ty, we talk about the trailers for both Jurassic Park 4 and Star Wars Episode 7, Oscar Isaac is Apocalypse, Constantine's order might get cut short, Guillermo del Toro's written a Justice League Dark script, and Wonder Woman has a director with two X chromosomes, and we talk about DaishoCon. It's exciting. And welcome to Nerd and Ty, the only podcast with the dress code. I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining with me, as always, are the illustrious Firsters.
I am illustrious.
And the ever-static Nick Azumi.
Sometimes I get paralyzed by Pikachu.
It's true.
Only when he uses Thunderwave, though. Then it's a guaranteed thing.
So those of you who are joining us on the video version this episode might notice that Fur is no longer a static image. He is a human being who moves in everything. And he's right over here.
Animation is expensive. I just realized that they caught me like wiping my nose. That was great. Like, thankfully, I have tissue here. But it's that dry, cold Wisconsin weather that I'm dealing with that I can't handle.
So you guys enjoy your week? Since we last did an episode?
It wasn't
bad.
Mine
was pretty baller. Not going to lie, the MST3K Turkey Day Marathon was a real highlight.
Yes.
It was. No, I loved it. It was really cool to see Joel again, and the bots especially.
I forgot how much I like Puma Man. That's one of my favorites.
He flies like a moron.
I still have that song stuck in my head right now.
Don't we all fly like morons?
Well, I'm sure we would.
All right. Well, we should let's try to get the
sorry.
All right. Oh God, we've gone weird immediately. That's how amazing this episode is.
I can just blame it on the fact that like we had the Packer game today. So there was obviously the Wisconsin tradition of drinking beer and eating cheese during that. So like I'm in a good mood from that myself.
I just have the Puma Man song stuck in my head. I did none of those things.
Well, lots of amazing things though have happened over the last 2 weeks, and we're gonna talk about them because we're Nerd and Ty and we are amazing and it's what we do. Isn't that right?
Yeah,
sure, why not? Let's go with that.
Yeah. This episode, for those watching the live stream, I am not checking the chat room because I literally walked in from getting home from being out of town for like 4 days and then had to set up for the show. So that laptop is closed. Of course, people listening to the audio podcast on their digital audio devices weeks later don't care.
No, so we're pandering to the people in the chat tray. It's important.
But I think we should talk about something they do care about, and that is one of the greatest things ever, and that is that we just got the Jurassic Park 4 trailer this last week.
The greatest thing ever? Well, okay.
I agree.
It involves Chris Pratt saying that certain things are a bad idea. I mean, really. Like within the trailer.
Jurassic Park movie.
I know. So, for those of you who haven't seen the Jurassic Park 4 Jurassic World trailer is out, and it looks like a Jurassic Park movie, and people will go running and screaming from dinosaurs.
Unless you're Chris Pratt, in which case you're apparently riding a moped or motorcycle alongside dinosaurs.
Which is pretty much the greatest thing that we've ever...
That's stupid!
That's the greatest thing on film since Voldemort hugged Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I have been waiting for some...
Well, let me show you. Weird. Let me tell
and
you.
It happened.
The moment with the motorcycle and the dinosaurs, that was it for me. That sold me on this movie. That made me say, yes, I need to go see this because it's true he's not riding a dinosaur. Chris Pratt doesn't ride a dinosaur. He rides with the dinosaurs.
But that's pretty close to what you predicted. I'm going to call that.
I know.
And I will say, like the dinosaur designs are really, really cool. Like, it makes me rather agastopic about some of the dinosaur designs. But I mean, like, my God, it's so dumb to see that end bit because like the trailer's about to end, and then all of a sudden, boom, Chris Pratt riding on a motorcycle with velociraptors.
I hate to break this to you, but this entire film franchise has been incredibly dumb.
Like, it has, but this
like,
especially.
There's no. All of these movies have been really dumb. Even the good ones have been incredibly dumb. So this is not going to change the way I view Jurassic Park. It's
I happen to love Jurassic Park and all of it's stupid. It's inherently better when it's stupid.
I agree.
Oh, I agree completely, and I'm going to absolutely go see it because, I mean, obviously Chris Pratt's in it, which he has not been in anything that's bad ever.
Wasn't he on Everwood?
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even know what Everwood is.
Because that's the – oh, God, you don't remember Everwood?
I don't remember Everwood.
It was a family drama on the – I can't remember if it was WB or CW era. Let's see. Oh yeah, Chris Pratt. But
the kind of show doesn't really change that much, babe, whether it's WB or CW. It's the same kind of crap, really.
Chris Pratt on Everwood.
Are you just like dictating everything at this point?
Trey screams Chris Pratt on Everwood. That it will.
I just Googled that. If I were more professional, I would have pulled that up as an on-screen graphic. But for the audio listeners, I just pulled up a photo of Chris Pratt on Everwood, and it is the most hilarious thing. Blonde. Curly blonde hair.
Oh, my God.
He played a jock teenager on that show. I know because I watched it.
That's horrible.
Well, you have my sympathy? What?
It was actually not awful. No. I mean, it was one of those shows I watched that, like, the scenes with the parents were way more interesting than the scenes with the kids.
A lot like Evangelion that way.
Well, you know, the scenes with Shinji's mom are the best.
Yeah, see? Exactly. In jokes.
You know, remember, Shinji, getting the robot. And the robot's your mom.
This got weird.
Spoilers.
Spoilers from a show that came out in the mid-90s.
AVA Unit 1 is Shinji's mom. AVA Unit 1 is Shinji's mom.
I don't feel bad if you don't know this already.
We really didn't ruin anything at this point. You should have been there already.
Evangelion ruined everything already.
I am a hardcore Ava fan, and I would say yes, you are correct.
But you know, the Jurassic Park trailer wasn't the only trailer that came out this week.
No, it wasn't.
We got our teaser trailer for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, which I have watched more times than I can count.
That's amazing.
There is a lot going on in this trailer. My favorite thing is that people were convinced that the voiceover was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Hilarious. Sounds like his voiceover from the Star Trek Into Darkness trailer.
It isn't him, guys. Settle down.
It was the Star Trek Into Darkness trailer all over again, with the movie J.J. Abrams wanted to make.
Yeah, Archimize, before I saw it, I came home from work to check out the trailer. Before I had even checked it out, Archimize has texted me, I think the new Star Wars trailer is just Star Wars footage with the audio from Star Trek Into Darkness over it. that was the one I came home to.
But no, there's that. What else? Obviously, the new X-Wings look very cool. We got a glimpse at the Millennium Falcon again. And a lightsaber with a blade crossguard.
Can I just say how stupid the crossguard lightsaber is? I know that some guy already had it in the extended universe.
It's established.
But just because it's established in the expanded universe doesn't mean it's dumb. Most of the expanded universe is dumb.
That's a great way to cut your own finger off.
Obviously, okay, if you're handling it wrong.
Let me see.
Obviously, if you're handling it at all, I mean, you could cut your own leg off with that thing.
Actually,
right.
The running theory is that this is a non-force user using a lightsaber that they built themselves, now, which would make sense.
Which everyone is pulling out of their bungholes.
Now, say you have a sword like I happen to have one here. Now, I've got a very small crossguard. But one of the ways that you want to hold this thing one-handed is to loop the finger over the crossguard. That's one of two ways to use a crossguard. The other is to use it to protect your hand. But if you have a long crossguard that goes off here, if you flex your wrist at all, you've now severed your own arm. Secondly, if you want to use it over the finger, which would keep the crossguard away from you, you have severed your finger. Dumb.
I didn't say that it wasn't dumb. I just said that there's a reason for it.
When I saw that part in the trailer, I actually started laughing.
20 years ago.
Like, I was in tears laughing. And because, honestly, the first thing that came to mind for me was a while back, when episode one came out, I remember people joking, man, I bet Lucas's profits go up with every new blade he adds to a lightsaber. Next we're going. And I'm like, there we go. They actually did it. They actually made the triple blader. We've been waiting for it. Now, granted, yeah, of course the fantasy space sword is dumb. Like,
well, yeah,
but it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that I'm going to have the biggest problem. It's a good thing that was in the trailer, because that way I can get that laugh out of my system, so that when I go and see this movie, I don't ruin some little kid's first experience with Star Wars because that one jackass behind him keeps laughing every time the bad guy takes his laser sword out.
You don't want to be the rocket boots in someone else's story.
I don't want to be someone else's rocket boots. Yeah, that's exactly it.
I had a guy walk up to me at DaishoCon this year and go, "Rocket boots."
Oh, did you hit them?
You know, that didn't happen to me.
I know, but it's because, okay, so folks at home, there's a rocket boots story, which you should just go to Nick Izumi's YouTube channel and find it. Find the rocket boots story. But
Rocket Boots, a true story of Iron Man.
Yeah, just when look it up. But when Nick and I co-hosted the No Brand Con cosplay contest this last spring, in the part of the pre-show, Nick told the story, but I acted out the idiot behind him because I wanted attention, pretty much. I mean, let's not be dishonest. I wanted attention.
Jeez.
The admission is there, finally.
But that means, though, is I've kind of stolen the thunder of the story, as I was the guy yelling rocket boots. And I'm sorry, Nick. Now people are yelling at me, and not you. To be fair, we're mocking
I had the original guy yelling at me. That's all I got now.
Nick, do you want me to yell rocket boots at you as you walk down a hallway someday?
No, that's all right. I've already had more than enough of it with the actual guy in the theater. But no, look that story up. It's good times. Can I say one other thing about the trailer, though, that kind of weirded me out?
The Star Wars trailer? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I did not think as far as new X-Wings go, I was excited to see X-Wings. I was excited to see TIE Fighters. But the changes to them must have been extremely minute, because I did not see that they were that different from the X-Wings that I already know and love.
There are actually some, if you look at the profile with the cockpits are different.
Okay.
Cockpits are different. There's a couple other tweaks to it. It's all supposed to be subtle stuff, because it's only supposed to be like a partial upgrade to the old design.
Okay. I'm just curious from the perspective of I know everyone hates the prequels, but the technological jump between episode 3 and 4 is so vast that it's weird that tech like the X-Wings and TIE Fighters are still entirely recognizable to me.
I do want to point out that the leaked design of the Stormtrooper helmet that, you know, we saw the Stormtrooper helmet leaked out with an artist like who had seen it, drew it, and posted it to the internet. That appears to be dead on.
No, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, there is one other thing that bothered me. Some of the shots of the actors, maybe they'll fix it up in, like, post, but some of the shots of the actors, to me, looked really awkwardly, like, filmed, like, almost more like a fan film than an actual,
yeah,
like,
when we get to, really? When we get to see What's-His-Name as a stormtrooper right away. I thought that was a really weird shot.
Yeah, oh, really? Because I thought that looked good.
No, when I saw that, it looked like it was really amateurishly shot. That was the feeling I got from that. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I thought it was a fake trailer when that came up for me. But.
I guess I didn't get that at all. Like, I mean, the getting up right away was supposed to. It's. I mean, I think you have to think of that shot as how it'll play in the context of the film that you're getting an establishing shot, and they kind of did that in the trailer where, you know, you're getting the feel of an establishing shot on what probably is Tatooine, you know, because it's Star Wars and everything has to go to the same backwater planet as many times as possible. But, I think it's supposed to be, you know, it's a very J.J. Abrams camera shot to do the establishing shot and have the guy pop up into it. That's very J.J. Abrams. So, I guess it didn't feel like a fan film to me. It felt like J.J. Abrams to me. And so
I guess. I don't know. That to me, it just looked weird.
I thought it was funny. Hey, someone had to awaken in that trailer. Someone had to awaken. Sad.
That's all I got. No, it's exciting. That lightsaber is still the funniest thing in the history
that
of...
That lightsaber is stupid. Maybe
the best thing. I need to keep watching that trailer just so I can stop laughing at that damn lightsaber. Incidentally, though, everyone, if on the odd chance that you listen to our show and you don't look for goofy image macros, look at the great image macros that have popped up because of that lightsaber. They're all hilarious.
I love the one where people keep adding, like, my favorite one is the chainsaw lightsaber that somebody made.
I don't know, the Swiss Army lightsaber, where just, like, little gadgets are popping out of the main blade. That's amazing.
What I love is, actually, there's an old piece of fan art with, like, Jesus as a Jedi, where he has a lightsaber cross.
And they photoshopped
that into the background, because it's, like, the inverse of the other guy's lightsaber. That's a good one.
Okay.
But we got those two trailers that are very cool.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Nick?
I was going to say, the one other thing that I wanted to add there was another story of Mom Mizumi, the same Mom Mizumi who asked which one was nerd and which one was Ty. She was talking to her friend about the trailer and my maniacal laughter, and she's like, yeah, the Sith Lord and his silly lightsaber. And my mom's friend was like, how do you know it's a Sith Lord? Really accusatory.
What? Who else? I mean,
and
it's
like,
a
and
red
I'm in the
lightsaber.
Corner, like, who, no one else wears black other, and has red laser
every
swords.
Every other character who has ever, like, used a red lightsaber has been a Sith Lord. The like only one other character has worn all black, and that's Luke. But like that's
another
red lightsaber. Red.
That's another weird story of Mom Izumi. That's.
I mean, it's true. It might not be a Force user. It might be something ridiculous. But when someone's giving a narration about the Force Awakening, and then they pull out a red lightsaber, Sith Lord, not necessarily true, but probable.
Yeah, we'll see.
Suppose, should we move forward into the land of...
Yes, comrade.
Nerds and ties. All right. Next up on our little docket is we have some casting for the next X-Men movie, which tragically is still being directed by our old buddy Bryan Singer, which makes us all really sad. But Apocalypse has apparently been cast for the film. And this does kind of relate to Star Wars.
Who you got?
We got Oscar Isaac.
No.
Who is also in Star Wars Episode 7, conveniently enough. So there's a segue.
Weird how that works.
Yeah, it's that I actually did not plan. I did the rundown this week, but I did not realize that. He's been in a couple of, he's kind of a new, he hasn't been in a whole lot of stuff until fairly recently. He was Prince John in the 2010 Robin Hood, which I don't think anyone saw. I think most people know him as Llewyn Davis from Inside Llewyn Davis. I know nothing about this guy.
Or even how to pronounce Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah, see, that's how that's how much I know. I mean,
he got nominated for a Golden Globe for that thing.
Well, that's then he clearly he knows what he's doing. So
and we can all rest easy knowing that Fox did not cast a white guy to play an Egyptian.
No, they did a good job with that. That was impressive.
I mean, sure, he's in a world different where we have flavor of brown, but you know.
Yeah, but
enough?
In a world where we have an entire movie about Egyptians where it's all white people, can we just be happy that this one Egyptian isn't a white dude?
I remember that really important part of history where that white guy led a bunch of white people out of white guy led Egypt. Do you guys not remember that? It was in all the
history
books.
It's funny because, I mean, even when the Prince of Egypt hired a... There were a couple white dudes playing Egyptians, but at least the Egyptians were still, you know, had dark skin in the cartoon. But no, not in live action.
Brown people in the Ten Commandments.
Like, you, not to get too sidetracked, but you look at pictures from Ridley Scott's Exodus, and I thought it was like bad cosplay. Why are all these white people dressed as Egyptians? The dumbest. So yeah, so maybe that's worth something. We don't have a white guy as an Egyptian. He's a very good actor. Will he be able to menace our crew of X-Men and maybe provide the kind of thing that will make the X-Men want to join up with Magneto only for him to betray them in the third act? Probably. Because Magneto is like Magneto and the movie X-Men are like Lucy and Charlie Brown at this point. He keeps promising this time he's not going to turn on them, but when they start running, he's going to pull that football and they land right on their backs.
Isn't that just regular Magneto?
But didn't he become a member of Scott Summers' weird X-Men? And does anyone know what's going on in the X-Men anymore?
Who's read the? Okay, so I knew they had an all-female team in one book.
Yeah,
that's all I know. I read Marvel. I've barely gotten back into Marvel. The only Marvel I'm reading right now is the current Miss Marvel, the Kamala Khan Miss Marvel. That's the only Marvel I'm reading right now.
There was a split in the team for a little bit where Logan was in charge of the school and Cyclops was leading a bunch of anti-human X-Men, including
Wolverine's
Magneto.
Currently dead. Currently dead. That's all I know. He'll be back.
Give him time.
He's too
There's enough Wolverine clones.
You don't kill Wolverine. Killing Wolverine is like killing Superman. You know he's going to be back because he cashes the checks, man.
But there's enough Wolverine clones and children at this point that they could literally just redo the Death and Return of Superman. That's the best.
I know.
Part.
So we got X-23. We got Dokken. We got we could bring in back Albert Cyborg Wolverine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally a cyborg Wolverine. So, is there a black Wolverine? There's that half Asian guy from that graphic novel called Bloody Choices, written by written by Tom DeFalco and John Buscema, who they heavily imply might be Wolverine's kid. It's one appearance in one graphic novel, but. Why do I know that, you ask?
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious myself.
Since I know nothing about this actor, we might as well say.
Because I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
It's just I bought it when I was a kid.
Oh,
that was like not. That was the opposite of climactic.
Yeah, it was. Some
bizarre story. In my bookcase, I was not aware these are here. I've got Wolverine number 113.
Oh.
Is from May of 97. It's got a Chasing Amy ad on the back.
Oh, weird.
And I've got an ash can of Dark Horse's X-Wing Rogue Squadron. Probably came with Hero Magazine.
You know, also appropriate because Oscar Isaac is playing an X-Wing pilot in Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Nick, we've already made the transition in the segue. We don't need to keep revisiting it.
But maybe Patton Oswalt was right on Parks and Rec. Maybe this is a long time ago. The X-Wing pilot's going to go off course and turn into Apocalypse. And we didn't realize this was all tied together.
I don't know what's happening anymore. I just know that that everything is wrong. But so yeah, that's all we really know about the upcoming Apocalypse movie. Oh,
that and they're apparently recasting a bunch of the original X-Men because they need to be young and stuff.
Well, yeah, because it's going to be set in the '80s, and so it's going to be set in the '80s. So you're going to get X-Men First Class people, like obviously James McAvoy is going to be playing Professor X. Hopefully aged makeup a little bit.
Maybe. They can shave his head. It'll be awesome.
I haven't checked if Fassbender's in the movie, but if Magneto's showing up, he's going to be played by Fassbender.
He better be in the movie.
Jennifer Lawrence, I think, is supposed to be in there as Mystique. I don't know what day. Like, it's so hard with these people who've been played by multiple actors to figure out what, like, when exactly you're supposed to, like, when they were supposed to switch to looking. I guess Mystique, it doesn't really matter, because, you know, you can justify any appearance on her in any movie at any point in time.
It comes with the territory, really.
Yeah. All right, so.
That's what we got, though, for that.
I think that's all we can drag out of that.
So I think it's time to go to another place.
Yes, the DC Carnival of Sadness. Oh, God. All right, so.
No, Mommy, don't make me go back there.
To take us to the DC Carnival of Sadness, those of you who have been. Who's been watching Constantine?
Me! Me!
I have also. I've missed the last two episodes because of the traveling, but I've got them.
The last two episodes have been really good.
Well, I'm going to watch them probably tomorrow. But anyways, so Constantine, which has been airing, you know, Friday nights on NBC, originally it was ordered for 13 episodes. And then partway into the season, it had its order extended to 22. Unfortunately, NBC has announced that they are cutting the order back to 13. They're cutting the extra episodes. Now, normally this would be the death knell for a show. But the show is remaining in its time slot. It's not losing its time slot, which is what usually you'd see happening when they kill something. So what's happening, it seems, is that, okay, so they delayed Constantine's premiere so they could line up with the premiere of Grimm. And what happened is that when they had
which
to make
still
the decision,
a show that is on for some reason.
I really like it.
I'm always so confused when I see that Grimm is still happening.
It's like, really good. Grimm is really good.
I'm not going to knock Grimm because Constantine is getting a big audience retention from Grimm. So anything that keeps that show on, I'm good with.
Yeah. So anyways, but because they delayed the premiere, they only had, rather than the normal 7 episodes at the time when they'd have to make the decision about whether or not to order more episodes, rather than the normal 7, the only 4 episodes had aired. And so they kind of took a guess whether or not they thought the ratings were going to get better. But because they didn't, they've decided to cut back. But the show's been showing enough growth that they're going to keep it in its time slot, see if it can build an audience. And so it still has a shot at season 2, where most shows in this position, they'd be canceled, like Bad Judge. Constantine still has a shot for a second season. So I guess the message is, if you like Constantine, please tell a friend.
Please keep watching. Yeah, I've been enjoying the hell out of the show. Actually, well, we'll talk about Dice Show later in the podcast, but I decided to take Trey's advice from a way back Nerd and Tie episode, and I actually cosplayed John Constantine at Dice Show. And the day before, everyone I knew was joking, oh, everyone's going to think you're Castiel. Most of the people I ran into knew exactly who I was.
Yeah, the cigarette helped.
The cigarette did help, but I mean, clearly it's starting to build a base. If you enjoy the whole supernatural detective genre thing, check it out. It's really cool. The production values are fantastic. The acting is great.
Yeah, I think I'm only actually one episode behind because I didn't watch it this week because I was in Milwaukee and not at home. What I love about that show, again, is Constantine can have a cigarette in his mouth that has smoke coming off of it, but he can't inhale from it. Like, that's how ridiculous this line is with Constantine smoking. Like, he can literally have it in his mouth lit and be talking, but you can never see him inhale or exhale smoke.
I'm sad. I just found out about one of the promos NBC did do for the show, and I only found out about it recently. Apparently, if you call the number on his business card, and I tested this, it works, you are taken to his answering machine.
Oh, wait. So, what's the phone number?
Ah, crud. I left my phone upstairs. I had it. I actually had it pulled up. It's a 404 number.
All right. So, Let's see if I can find it.
But it's worth checking out. Like, the current message, he just tells you he's just kind of rude if you called the wrong number. Apparently, the earlier message, he said something to the effect of, you've reached John Constantine. If you're looking for Alec Holland, check the bloody swamp. And Alec Holland is Swamp Thing, so that's kind of a nice... that's kind of a great little shout-out. Fingers crossed that my favorite Muck Man might show up, but yeah.
All right, so I'm going to call it.
Okay, let's call it. Yeah, it's great. I tested it just a couple hours ago, actually.
Hi, this is John Constantine. If you feel you've reached this message in error, then sod off, you lucky bastard. The rest of you, don't leave a number and lock the door. Cheers.
Sorry, I think that's kind of cool. I mean...
That's phenomenal. That's a neat little thing.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying it. I really hope the show doesn't get canceled. I mean, at least they'll be able to tie up whatever story they wanted to tell in the first season. The first appearance, I was wrong. They had already shot their thing with hinting at the Spectre, Jim Corrigan, and that was really, really cool. The hints that they dropped, I would be lying if I said they were subtle, but they were, it was definitely, it was enough that for people not in the know, it would get them interested. And for people who are DC fans, you might have a little bit of a fan moment of, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's, I just wanted to say my favorite story, just to go back to your cosplay. Mm-hmm. Is, I don't remember if I've said this on an episode before, but I have to say it again, even if I've said it before. I have this friend Worm, it's unimportant who he is, but he just recently finally started watching Supernatural.
And when he finally
got to the Castiel seasons, he posted to Facebook what is one of my favorite lines, which was, all of these years I thought people were cosplaying Constantine at conventions. He was so disappointed. It was hilarious.
I really do want this show to go somewhere. It's really good.
I agree. I like it.
It's actually something David S. Goyer's attached to that isn't terrible.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It's even the weirder part. It's a David S. Goyer adaptation that's actually true to the comic it's based on. That's even... What? I'm guessing it's the other writer's fault. That's what I'm going to say. There's my guess right now.
Well, isn't David S. Goyer just really great at showing up and kind of like lending his name to something and other people doing the legwork?
Apparently he co-wrote the pilot episode, but yeah, I kind of get that feeling that this was – his name was on it for recognition. And
yeah.
It's probably it. He can stay far away from it as far as I'm concerned. If he helped to get the show off the ground, that's fine. Now go away. No.
Yeah. So speaking of John Constantine.
Speaking of like Constantine, and then we talk about the DC Carnival of Sadness, now we're entering the DC Carnival of...
Oh?
Do 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 do.
So we got a couple of possibly good things on the side of the DC universe, and this relates to John Constantine and my boy Swamp Thing, for that matter. None other than Guillermo del Toro, and this goes back to, if anyone out there owns the one of those special edition Hellboy DVDs, they know that Guillermo del Toro has been wanting to do a movie with a couple of the more magical characters from the DC universe, especially my man Swamp Thing. And just this last week, Mr. Del Toro turned in a script to Warner Brothers of his idea for a Justice League Dark movie. He's tentatively calling it Dark Universe, but this would be a movie featuring the aforementioned John Constantine, Nick's favorite superhero of the DC universe, Swamp Thing, Zatanna, and maybe even Deadman. So got some really get into those dark characters, those magic using DC characters, and on top of that, Guillermo freaking del Toro,
who I can really honestly do no wrong. He's great in just about everything he's done.
Yeah,
and, I mean, like, okay, his writing is phenomenal.
So before everyone though, like, gets excited and like,
yeah,
for joy, this is a script nobody asked for.
This is also true. It wasn't on DC's lineup, so that doesn't mean that
there's not going to happen.
And Guillermo del Toro doesn't really have time to direct something like this anytime soon,
which also sucks.
It's nice though that they've got it on file now to basically be like, oh, right, yeah, we could do this.
Right. And lastly, and this is important, Constantine is a character currently being used under a license for NBC, and so okay, so with the Flash, they're going to do a second Flash, but they're waiting enough years where I'm betting they're betting the other Flash is going to get canceled before they get another Flash. Because I like the Flash, but
I hope they're wrong.
I hope they're wrong. But that's my money on, like, that bet. But so I don't but the Flash is a big enough, like, historical character where I think they're willing to take the chance of having two competing versions at the same time. Like, but Constantine is a character that the majority of people turning in Constantine might not even be aware he's from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're just watching an urban fantasy drama.
Of the characters people might have heard of, like, if this were the 90s, people might know Swamp Thing. No one knows him anymore.
Right.
No one knows Deadman. The closest one to a character people might have heard of is probably Zatanna, if only because she's a mainstay of the animated universe.
Yeah.
And even then, she's the C-lister among the D-listers here.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and so that's why I find this unlikely to go anywhere beyond something nice to sit on a shelf. Because I don't think that Warner Brothers is going to want to create a second John Constantine that doesn't link back to the other John Constantine while they're still trying to build that brand. You could do that with the Flash and the Green Arrow because people accept these as comic book characters, but Constantine is viewed as a TV character, I'm betting, by most audience members.
You see, the desperate hope that I have that would be impossible would be that if they worked out a deal to get Matt Ryan from Constantine in the movie, but that of course wouldn't happen. That's too much to ask for.
Well, and also you'd have to coordinate with the writers of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that, and making sure that whatever Guillermo del Toro is compatible with the idea of magic as portrayed in Constantine the series.
Also true.
So much work.
Well, if nothing else, I can at least still hope that maybe Swamp Thing will... Maybe it wasn't just a shout-out on the dumb...
Of course, you know, they can always tie it into the Keanu Reeves version of Constantine.
Yeah, but no one wants that. No one likes that movie.
Keanu Reeves wants that.
Oh, come on. Keanu Reeves is better. Keanu Reeves needs to go continue doing what he's doing, which
Bill
is...
Bill and Ted 3?
Or I was going to say disappearing and then coming back with really cool independently produced action movies like The Man of Tai Chi, because that was awesome. Just saying. Check out The Man of Tai Chi. I think that's on Netflix.
Oh, we should drive this truck forward, my
friends. Let's drive. What do we know for sure is happening in this DC Carnival of Hope?
Well, we do know that that we have a director for the Wonder Woman movie.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah, and that director is Michelle MacLaren. Now, for those of you who are wondering who Michelle MacLaren is, she hasn't done any movies.
Well,
however, she's done a whole bunch of stuff for TV. Namely, she's an Emmy-winning writer and director for several TV shows, including Breaking Bad, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. She did some stuff on The X-Files years ago.
Oh, so nothing good on there. Nothing that would make her well suited for something.
Well, Nick,
she was co-executive producer on Harsh Realm.
Oh, pardon me.
So, you know,
something I've heard of at least.
But they confirmed that she has been chosen to direct the Wonder Woman solo movie, which is due out in 2017. So this is not the first time a TV person has made a direct jump into film, especially in the superhero realm. Alan Taylor, who was big on Game of Thrones, and Community's Anthony and Joe Russo,
yeah, Russo brothers,
doing Captain America: The Winter Soldier. So this is. There's a good precedent being set for TV directors and producers jumping to cinema. So
we even said that like in a previous episode, we were talking about how these TV producers tend to be better at this multi-character movie franchise thing because they're more used to those limitations.
And I think they're better. They're used to tying things together a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're used to working with other writers and directors. We still don't know who's writing Wonder Woman.
No, we
do. That's a mystery.
Not yet. Could be anyone. Maybe we're writing it.
We might be. I don't know.
Scene opens. Hippolyta is kicking a ball of clay down a hill as a nod to her golden age origin of Wonder Woman. She's visibly pregnant with Diana. Zeus lands and says, "Hey, baby." Thus begins the worst Wonder Woman film I could ever write.
Meanwhile,
do not
Ares,
hire us, Warner Brothers.
The entire thing
awful.
Is just Diana going through preschool. I don't understand.
Yes. My movie would have Ares played by Christopher Walken.
Still played by Gal Gadot. Still. But just like her, like in a room full of preschoolers. Going to preschool.
Come on, Ares as played by Christopher Walken. Make
Ares
it happen.
Ares is played as a nod to the old Hercules and Xena show by Kevin Smith, being the director Kevin Smith, not the deceased actor who played him in those shows. But they shave Kevin Smith's beard exactly like the actor who played Ares on Xena and Hercules.
Oh, good.
As a nod, again, to the late Kevin Smith.
Excellent.
I was so sad that never got made as a celebrity death match of Kevin Smith versus Kevin Smith. Alternatively, Kevin Smith from Stargate Atlantis would also be a good choice for Ares. But again, he's got to have the beard with like the sideburns connecting to the goatee.
Yes, Trey.
This is cinema gold. We will make so much money.
So, but no, that's exciting. Michelle MacLaren directing Wonder Woman in 2017. So,
I'm good with this. Like real talk, I'm really good with this. Yeah,
I'm excited. They got a female director for this movie.
Woman
director. Okay.
When we keep saying female, it just starts sounding really weird.
It makes you sound creepy, like inherently. Like what? Okay, so like when we.
I'm just reading a text that came across one of our listeners who shouted out quite loudly that they're excited that it's a woman. So
which listener?
I will not name names of this listener, but
name
she's
the
cool.
Name. What's their handle in the chat room?
They're not in the chat room.
Well, then how do you? So we know exactly who it is for her.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We will call her Snapdragon. To not confuse people.
Oh, okay.
Works for me.
A flower. Think about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, I gotcha.
All right.
I gotcha.
But no one else does. That's the amazing thing, is that we've completely said
we've
stuff
alienated that... all of our listeners. Good job.
No one knows. We're awful at this. All right, so speaking of things we're awful at, the three of us spent, not this last weekend, but the weekend before, at a convention.
Huzzah!
That's right. We went to DaishoCon in the Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari Resort, where we recorded a live episode that you may have noticed in our feed.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was at 9 in the god morning.
Oh, oh my God. Yeah, no, it was the worst time slot ever. But,
we also had a really awesome guy who wanted us to know when our panel ended. He was super awesome.
I will say that I never did get back to telling him that he had 5 minutes left in his panel. I was really tempted to. I was so about ready to show up and be like, by the way, you have 5 minutes left.
So you can go back and watch it. It's on YouTube and it's on obviously in the MP3 feed. And so, I apologize for the sound issues in that episode.
Here's to you, guy that was dressed as James from Team Rocket without a Jesse, because that's the only appropriate way to do that cosplay is with a Jesse. You're a jerk.
I wasn't going to call anyone specifically out, but well, no, it's okay. So that guy had, like, he did it not knowing we were a podcast. He had the next panel in the room, and he asked the question, like, he first off, he was just nervous because he didn't realize we got a reminder. But he also didn't realize that when he asked, we were recording him and broadcasting him. We were streaming that. We were streaming live to the internet at that point. So he was not aware that he was, like, he thought he was doing, like, a little nagging reminder, but it, he didn't know he was being a dick on live streaming television. So, way to go, guy. Thanks. Hope your recorder performance went well.
God damn it.
Me and Trey are ruthless. We don't care.
So mean.
We don't care.
Also, while I was there, I went and saw, like, we all did lots of stuff. I went and saw the Famicom Dojo podcast live.
Yeah, I'm really sad I didn't get to see that.
They put out their live episode on Friday, because they release episodes every Friday. So, because they recorded Saturday night, they put out on Friday. And you can hear me on it quite a lot in the background.
Of course we can.
I'm in the front row. I'm not the only person. You see, the problem is that Sean makes the mistake of not telling us to shut up. So he it kind of encouraged both myself and Phil Bond, who regularly does guest appearances on Famicom Dojo stuff, to pipe in. But the Famicom Dojo did a really good live podcast from the show, although it took them a half hour to get their tech stuff set up. Because everything Sean set up should have worked in theory, and then none of it would work once he plugged it in. And so his panel started a half hour late.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate.
So, but the show's really good, so you should go to famicomdojo.tv and listen to it.
I want to say that a lot of good things happened for Otaku Tonight over the weekend. It was cool to see all of our regular fans and whatnot show up and stuff. But I would say, like, the coolest part for me, at least, was the fact that I guess we broke fire code on Saturday night for Whose Line Is It Anime.
We did that.
During the Famicom Dojo.
During the Famicom Dojo panel, which is why we weren't there. But I remember there was a point where one of the con directors came into the room, came up to me and said, "Fur, you need to let us know when to stop letting people in." And at this point, the room was, like, already standing room only. People were looking for, like, spots along the wall to stand. And I look around and I'm like, cool, keep letting people in. They want to see it. They're going to see it. But, I mean, all of the Otaku Tonight panels were well attended. People were lined up to see them. The actual talk show itself went really well. Our stand-up show on Friday night was probably one of the best we've ever done.
It was the most vulgar thing I have ever done.
And it was the most glorious thing you've ever done, Nick. And then our movie riff, we had Crow T. Robot in the audience.
Yeah, we had Crow T. Robot. It was pretty amazing.
He came to see us riff a movie, which was neat.
Unexpected, but yeah, that went well. I didn't have any individual panels, but it was interesting having a DaishoCon where I didn't have responsibilities. Because, like, every other year I'm on staff. Yeah. So this year I was just going around dicking around, being having fun. Like I said, my John Constantine cosplay was incredibly well received. I'm blown away by how well it was received, actually. And then, because Raina and I did kind of, our theme was dysfunctional couples. I don't think we planned it that way, but it ended up happening that way. So there was John Constantine and Satana was a thing. And then also the day before that was Otacon and Sniper Wolf from Metal Gear Solid 1. So anyone who's played that game knows how that ended up.
I only did one cosplay, and that was with Amy Quinlan.
That was awesome, by the way.
We did. We were Isaac and Miria from Bakano when they were dressed up in the cowboy uniforms or the cowboy outfits when they're on the train. But on Saturday, I sort of got to play I got this shadow as my girlfriend played. She was Daenerys Targaryen in the Karth dress. From Game of Thrones, and that was pretty cool for people like to have people be like, "Oh, we need to take your picture." That was kind of neat. So it was a good time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's see if I can find it.
I would say all in all, DaishoCon was an excellent weekend, and I'm excited for next year. I know they hit over 3,000 attendance this year.
That's really cool.
That's really high five worthy. That was really cool.
The only cosplay, I did break out my my Bobby cosplay for Friday randomly.
Which is just you wearing a hat, essentially.
Yeah. Hey, to be fair, I also have a flask. And I make sure I wear a particular shirt and a particular flannel because they match an outfit he wore on the show once. And I might have bought a flannel for that, but it's one that I wear normally anyways. But my wife...
Yes,
did a great cosplay. She did Tom Riddle from the My Immortal web series.
It was amazing.
I didn't even recognize her at first. I thought she was just somebody talking to you at your table, and I wasn't going to interrupt. And then I'm like, wait, that's Krista.
And of course, there are great things like what it looks like when I put that wig on. But that was my favorite thing. Also, some random person had a Pikachu car.
You know, I know where that originally came from, weirdly enough. I don't know who owns it now, but the guy who used to own that car was a friend of mine who worked at that same Boy Scout camp I've mentioned before that I did. And he travels around the Midwest promoting renewable energy. And I have lost count of how many times we went out to get sushi driving the Pikachu car.
That's amazing.
It was awesome. Baller. He was talking to me about buying it, but I was broke as hell.
For the video viewers who wanted to know what the guy who had a Crow T robot looked like.
I loved, incidentally, the guy wandering around his Crow, gets double high fives for having the Gizmotic Institute
dumpsuit. He was doing Joel and Crow at the same time.
Which...
I do want to say the pre-reg lines.
It was a functional puppet, too.
Mm-hmm. This is the only show I've been to where the reg line was almost non-existent, and the pre-reg line was, I mean, literally, down the hall and
went
around
on
and on and on forever. And it was just amazingly long pre-reg line.
I know, I didn't pre-reg, and I got to walk right up, and I got my badge within, seconds. And well, I had a few friends who pre-regged, and I got my badge, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go back to the room. Guys, find me when you're done.
Well, it's artists had – I was in the artist alley, and artists have to pick up their badges from pre-reg. And there was probably a line of 10 people when I did because I went really early because I wanted to get my table set up. And I was like, man, this is an impossibly long line for picking up an artist badge. And then as my table was right near the pre-reg line, I got to watch the line grow into this behemoth thing, and I was like, nope, not complaining about how long I waited anymore.
Wow.
That was a lot of people, man. Mang.
It was a big-ass con. It was, without a doubt.
It was a lot of fun. It's DaishoCon is an interesting event, and I like seeing any Wisconsin con succeed. So...
It's weird, on a personal note, it's really weird retiring from, staff there. because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, because you were a co-founder of that event.
Yeah, that was a dream that a bunch of us had while driving back from another con that was really terrible and I won't name. But
was my con?
It wasn't even in the Midwest actually.
Good.
But, no, and I've never been back to it ever since. So, we were complaining about things we would have done better, and then eventually we were just like, hey, Zach Neal, one of the other founders of the convention, is like, well, why don't we just do it? And before I knew it, he suggested that another person, Zach Allen and myself, go to the Stevens Point Ramada, and we had something going, and it's grown, and it keeps growing, and, you know, I wish it the best. It's just, it's really weird not being part of it. It's really weird.
Oh, no, it's always...
It's cool you got that plaque, though. The plaque was cool.
Yeah, they gave me a really nice plaque that I posted a picture of on Twitter. But that's close to 8 years of my life now, so it's going to be, it's an interesting transition.
Dude.
Because initially I posted 7, but then I paused to realize, oh, right, there was the year before it started of just us planning, so yeah.
I stepped out of actively planning NoBrainCon a while ago, probably. I left staff in 2011? The year after I moved to Lafayette, because I was technically on staff for the first year I was in Lafayette. Because I was their co-webmaster still for a year. But it's so weird to, like, especially when you go back, like, when you go back to an event like that that you used to run and now you're just, like, a guy there. First off, it's really hard not telling people how to fix things. Or, like, if something goes wrong, you feel the need to, like, help. But then you have to remember that you might actually be bothering people by helping because they, you know, there are people whose job this is and... They want to be able to do it themselves. The bastards. They said, let me do everything.
Yeah, that was really cool. I will miss it, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, so normally this is the part of the show where we'd move on to the mailbag.
Yeah, but it'd be great if we had a...
Well,
it's a big empty bag.
So the reason why it's empty, though, is
hold on, let me dig inside of it. Oh, my God, I found Hootie and the Blowfish down here. That's where they've been.
And the dolphins make me cry. Nothing I can do.
Put them back in the bag.
Yeah, I'm getting them back in.
Okay, so the reason why we don't have any mail is because last we did the
Mandy
special.
From the West Wing, what? What are you doing in there?
The President Bartlett gets shot? a lot of people aren't going to get that joke. But just look up Chuck Cunningham Syndrome and on TV Tropes and find the West Wing entry. Anyways... To explain why we don't have an email this episode is because we did our listener feedback special at DaishoCon, and so we kind of emptied out the mailbag that normally would be stuff that would have ended up in this episode. But going to say it was on purpose. So if you do want to ever have your stuff read out loud here on the show and tell us what you think, normally you would just go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form. And we would read it, answer your question, be awesome, do what we do, and so forth. But because we don't, we're going to move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Which we didn't. Nobody got last time.
Nobody got. So
good because
I have located the book.
Oh, you did find it, finally. See, for the folks listening at home, Trey couldn't remember it during the pre-show.
Well, nobody guessed it, though, so it was okay. But anyways, so I found it. But to explain what the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is every episode I read out a portion of a book. It's one or two lines, and what the challenge is to you is to guess what book it is I've read from. And to guess, you would go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, fill it out, and say this is the title and author of the book you read. If you guess correctly, you get included in our growing Hall of Awesome. And Hall of Awesome benefits... Hall of Awesome benefits are as follows. You get your name read every episode, and your name is listed on the website, and there is no third thing. That is all you get. So these are the current members of the Hall of Awesome in order of acceptance. Arkhamize, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, and Chris Graham. These people are all awesome. If you can guess the book that I'm about to read some of, you too can be awesome. And since nobody guessed the last book, we are going to read another line out of that book.
Why not?
Because I don't have to be able to find another one, and none of y'all have guessed this one yet. So, okay, so the line is as follows. We're choosing new evening dresses, Alexander. I'll try. We're choosing new evening dresses. Alexandra held up a swatch of fabric. Would you care to help? Again, if you could tell us what book that is from, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form. It's very exciting.
Yeah, do the thing.
If you have, again, if you have anything else you want to tell us, talk about, do things to us, yell at Fur, tell him his headphones look really stupid. Go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and again, one day, Nick won't be static, but that won't be a day that is soon.
Hey, animation is expensive. And
you know, I did... So the people listening to the audio version don't know this, but Fur and I are on video, but Nick, we've been using still images to two different still images for him, and I did consider using the animated version of Nick Izumi. Of putting just an animated GIF of Nick Izumi from the Nick Izumi show with, like, the mouth opening and closing whenever we did a close-up on Nick. I thought about it. I did. But I didn't do it.
I can send you one of the GIFs I made for the show.
I... No.
Aw.
Aw.
Well.
You're lucky I let you use a microphone. I don't know. Aww. Headset? Banana? Aww. You're lucky you get bananas.
I am lucky I get bananas. I need potassium.
But don't have too much potassium, like my grandfather. Anyways, Thanksgiving's
folks, that's
fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to us on this Thanksgiving weekend.
Nerd and Ty, I am, as always, Trey Dorn.
I will always be Firsters.
And in the name of the moon, Nick Izumi is punishing you.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of Nerd and Time.
Have a good fortnight, everybody.
And remember to subscribe to us on both iTunes and Stitcher. And rate and review us. And Stitcher.com has an app for both Android and iOS. And I said that almost in the right order.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Banana pants. Do-do-do-do-do. All right.
Banana pants.
Do 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 do.
All right.
Banana.